All right, I'm speaking with Adrian Pei. The book is The Minority Experience, and we know that the challenges are great, and as we were mentioning towards the end there, last segment, we really don't want people to just highlight the positives and overlook the negatives, because if we overlook slash dismiss the negatives, there's nothing that we can do to resolve those negative issues. And so could you talk with us now about what we can do to try to make things better?
Absolutely. And, you know, I do believe there's a lot that we can do, and that's why my book, you know, is not just any book about race, in my opinion. You know, it is a Christian book. And the reason why I think that's so critical is that, and I was actually talking to a friend who is not in the evangelical or the Christian world, and she was saying that, you know, when she looks at the books that are out there about race, that she feels that a lot of people dealing with race are pretty burned out, and they're looking for spiritual guidance. They're looking for resources beyond themselves. And so she found it, she appreciated that component of it, even though she doesn't come from that world, because she said that, you know, it provides resources that we need in this journey. And so for me, when I wrote this, I really wanted to not only include examples from the Bible of, you know, individuals like Moses and Daniel and even Jesus who were in the midst of these forces of the minority experience and how they went through it, got through it. But also, you know, like when you look at pain, power in the past, the last half of the book, I talk about how with God and other people, they can transform. So pain without God can become, you know, just kind of in some ways death, or it's just like a sense of like defeatism. But with God, it can become compassion. And power, you know, can feel like powerlessness, but with God, it can turn into advocacy. And the past can feel like we're doomed, you know, that it's going to be these cycles that repeat over and over. And can we do anything about it? But with God, it becomes wisdom about how to approach history and other people. And so I truly believe that, you know, God and other people are the turning point that help people move to a place of compassion, of advocacy, and of wisdom. And so in the book, I do talk a lot about what can we do. And there's even a middle chapter that talks about practical ways that we can lead, whether it's a church, an organization, a team, and ways that we can lead a change effort and practical steps. So I don't know if you want me to get into details or if you have...
Please give us a few. Mm-hmm. Please.
Sure. So, yeah, one of the things that I talk about, and, you know, whether it's a church or an organization, is that it really starts with understanding what's the motivation to diversify. Because I know diversity is a big topic. And, you know, for some groups, you know, they may not be diverse, right? And so I think that for them, you know, sometimes it can be a motivation that is about pragmatics in terms of, like, we should just do it because it'll make us look better. Or, you know, it's what everybody's doing. You know, it's the PC thing to do. But I think it's really important that we identify that we look at the pain, power in the past in terms of what are the pain, the challenges of the minorities in our team, our church, our organization. You know, try to understand what those are, and that this is about addressing the people who are, they're not just tactics or strategies, they're people. And can we get to know them and their backstory and their challenges? What are those challenges? And really framing our efforts around that. And then who has the power in the structures of the leadership and the decision-making, right? Because it's like, you know, I think you can see there are some churches where, you know, maybe some of the leadership needs to reconsider the way things are done and the way decisions are made and who is consulted. And there are some examples where even in some churches, you know, the white leadership has decided what's best is for them to give up their position to ethnic minorities. There's no one answer that fits all context, but that could be the issue. And then the past is really, you know, what or who has influenced that church or group to be what it is today. because very often those forces really dictate the way things are right now, the people who founded the church and whatnot. And so I think that, like, sometimes you may have a group that seems diverse, but what I would suggest is that there's still a lot of room to leverage the people who are in the church or the group. So are we really leveraging our staff and our people for their new ideas? So is it just, you know, so to speak, cosmetic diversity, where it just appears to be that there are diverse people? Or are we asking them to really evaluate and transform the way things are done in the group?
And this would be coming from the mixture, trying to get these ideas from, if we're trying to integrate or diversify a church or some other Christian organization, you're proposing that we have members of the minority group talking with members of the majority group, with the white community there, and ideas coming from both groups?
Yeah, I think so. But I think I'm talking about, you know, like when you do have, to avoid it just becoming the surface level in terms of skin deep, you know, and we have some people here who are, you know, they have an ethnic sounding name, or they have a certain color of their skin, mm-hmm. right? I'm kind of talking about how does the organization and the church really think through how to leverage their strength, you know, and their culture in a deeper way, not just the skin. So, like, what, you know, about their ideas and, you know, their innovation and transforming gotcha. The way things are done, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So I think that there's a lot of things that can still be done, you know, in terms of figuring out how to leverage the people who are at the church. I think really thinking through understanding, you know, doing an organizational assessment, you know, in terms of, why is the organization the way it is, and how ready are they to change? And so, you know, there's the book talks about, you know, kind of how to assess that, and then to figure out, because there are some groups that, you know, I was working with a church the other week, actually, and it was actually an African-American woman who asked me some thoughts on her church, and it turns out that she's kind of been given the work of diversity. And I kind of talked to her and said, you know, so tell me about this church. And it turns out that the church is really in a stage where it's not the highest priority for them to diversify, but they're kind of putting the work on her. And so I'm kind of asking her, you know, really think through, you know, like what's the best way of doing this in terms of, like, maybe you need to find some allies, you know, in this effort, because it's really hard to lead a change effort by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need allies and you need alignment. And I think that I encourage her to have conversations with the head pastor and then to really, you know, think through what is motivating them. So, you know, I asked her to kind of, you know, think through what's the 3 to 5 year plan for your church in terms of, you know, the way that you where you want to go in terms of diversity, and what would their thoughts be? And then to kind of see, you know, what's realistic, you know, because I think we often want to, you know, accomplish everything, but we have to understand where the church is coming from, where it is right now, and different churches are different places. And so I think that it's really important to understand that. So I had her ask her church staff a simple question, which was kind of where is everybody in their cultural journey of understanding themselves as well as people of other races, and where would they like to go in that journey alongside the other people? And so that simple question can be very helpful for people at a church to kind of figure out, you know, where people are at and how they're responding to these topics. So those are a couple ideas to get started.
I tell you what, another so powerful too, finding out from the staff where they are currently and where they'd like to go, where they'd like to end up, like you say, within 3 to 5 years. Talk about getting people focused.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very often people really just look at what's in front of them. But really, you know, having a longer-term vision can be helpful in terms of understanding what it's going to take. Because it's going to be not just let's put on one program or let's bring in one speaker right now, but what can we do to really change the power structures of the organization? In terms of, you know, who leads the processes, the way that things are done. I think those are the deeper things that will make a bigger difference. And so that takes time, and it takes a plan.
Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate you for helping us understand that not only does there need to be a plan, but how to put that plan together. Could you share with us more about where people can get the book and any other information that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. So you can get the book on, you know, Amazon.com. And actually, if you if you go to the link minoritybook.com, it just directs to the Amazon site. So it's easy. But that's the best place to get it. And you can definitely interact with me online as well. I'm on Twitter at Adrian Pei, and I have a website as well with my name, adrianpei.com. So you could definitely interact with me there if you have any questions, and I'd love to dialogue with you.
And ladies and gentlemen, Pei is spelled P-E-I. Remember, he shared with us that he is Asian American, so that's P-E-I, Adrian Pei, ADRIANPEI.com. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, thank you for clarifying that. And so, yeah, I would just encourage people to know that you can make a difference no matter what level you're at. You know, if you're not part of the leadership of a group, there's still ways that you can gather the voices of the people around you, you know, whether it's through surveys, interviews, and really building a leadership group, whatever it may be. And because, you know, at some point the leaders, they have to listen to the people, or there's enough of a force that they must listen to. And so in some ways, there's always something we can do at our level. And so I really would encourage people to know that we can make a difference. And I hope the book really does speak to some of the experiences that people have had, and it provides the practical steps forward. And so thank you so much for listening.
My pleasure so much. And ladies and gentlemen, I do want to tell you, it's just like you said, the suggestions and the principles are practical. They are things that we can actually do. And I encourage you to get the book. No need to just commiserate over what is troubling us. Let's be empowered to do what we can do. Adrian Pei, thank you so much for the book. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Quite welcome.